In every parish I've been in, there's always at least one person who says to me, "Father, you ought to preach on what people ought to wear when they come to Mass." Yeah. And this would seem to be the perfect gospel, except to do that, there's good reasons for not doing that, but probably the best reason for not doing that is that's not what this gospel's about. And you would know that. If you were to preach on the externals, people would say, "I don't think that's what that gospel is actually getting at." And they'd be right. The wedding garment that the man does not have on is not part of him. It's not something he decided to put on for that day. It's something he decided to never become. So, this is one of those gospels, and the parables at this time of year, they become ever more warning-like, ever more dark, as we head into the month of November and the end of the liturgical year, and we get these series of parables in which our Lord is warning us, you cannot presume upon the end time, heavenly bliss, eternal life. You can't presume that as yours for the having, yours for the taking, ours on our own terms. And then, of course, all that warning leads then into what? Advent. A sense of need for God's grace, a renewal of the sense of anticipation that we are asking the Lord again to become incarnate in our world, but specifically in our own hearts. So we're on that road in terms of our gospel readings, right? And so in the next weeks, we'll hear all these kind of apocalyptic and eschatological, big word for end times, kind of gospels. In our gospel today, we hear at the end, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth, for many are invited and few are chosen." Bind his hands and feet. At the beginning of the gospel, we hear of those who refuse to come, some because they were too busy, some to their business, and others they laid hold of the servants and killed them. The Lord says those are destroyed. They're wiped out in their village, their towns burnt down. Everything they built that was built on their own efforts does not last. Time, everything else that goes on in the world, all that gets burnt down. It's a passing world. At the end of the gospel, the man is bound hand and feet because his hands and his feet represent freedom. Feet, you walk where you will. You pursue what life you like. You have the freedom to choose and to go down whatever path life you like. Hands, you grasp, you take, you build. You give or you grasp. It's all with our hands, in a sense, that we accumulate to ourselves and that we put on ourselves what we choose. So at the end, the man who doesn't have the wedding garment, his hands and feet are bound because they're already tied. They're already, in a sense, useless to him because he did not employ them in the way that would bring him life. The wedding garment. You know, at every Mass, the priest puts on the chasuble. It is the wedding garment. It is the garment that represents the yoke of Christ, which is charity, which is love. And the fathers of the church, they reflected on this gospel extensively. They loved this parable. And they loved to reflect upon the fact that all are called in. The angels go out, they gather everyone in at the end times. But it's only those who have clothed their life in charity, which means love of God and love of neighbor and the works that flow from that, that have clothed themselves in charity, that have the garment. So the gospel challenges us specifically today. What are you putting on day after day? What are you clothing yourself in? Because whatever it is, at the end of time, you can't take it off. You can't do a quick wardrobe change. You've clothed yourself with this your whole life. And the external garments that we wear, and the external face that we give to the world, and all that the world knows of us, our family, friends, and everything else, in the end, all they see is the external. And the Lord sees the heart. The Lord sees what we've clothed ourselves with. A great sense of humility, a great sense of gratitude, a great sense of generosity, a love for God that, in a sense, enlivens, shapes, and in a sense, moves our whole life. And a love of neighbor, because we love God in that way. St. Paul, in our second reading, says, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And he says that in the context of I can have great abundance or I can have nothing. Because what I've clothed myself in is the love of Christ and the love of neighbor. And so all the other things really are inconsequential to that.